Blog Talk Radio.
Something that happens to all of us.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and remember, if you're listening for the first time, just press 1 and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. And now here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello Starla, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. My husband is home.
Well, it's always good to hear that you haven't already gotten tired of me yet. For those of you who have been following on our Facebook pages, we're in transition as far as work. And as with everything, transition is always one of those things that's unusual. Even when it's a blessing, it's one of those things that can be very stressful. So we're all going through that here at the house and changes in income and everything. But it sort of fits in with our topic tonight of what does it mean to you to live in the United States of America and to be an American. And it seems like it doesn't matter what your perception is on any one subject, you can find a talk radio show that has an opinion based similar to what you believe so that you can get on there and you can voice just as loud as you want to voice and your southern accent, or if you're from Massachusetts, you can talk like someone from Massachusetts or Michigan or California. You can state your opinion without any fear of retribution at all. And we live in a country of laws that was based on, we talked about this before, what I believe was a standard of foundation of God being the basis of that and moral right and wrong. And whether we agree that those are principles that should be part of our government or not, many people think that that doesn't have anything to do with ruling a country. And then there's those like myself that believe it is very much a major part of running a country when you put God into the mix. But we can do basically whatever we want to do. We didn't stand in any line and was told that, okay, you've taken this kind of test, or we're going to need so many farmers today, so you're going to go out and you're going to go out and farm, or you're going to be, you know, in the military, and, you know, if we want to let you out after so many years, you can, or something like that. We have so many freedoms in this country that we take for granted. And it seems to me like no matter what channel you turn to, and whatever your thoughts are in regard to the left and the right and the middle and all those things, that somehow in the mix, everything has turned out negative. And what I mean by that is you don't ever hear repeated over and over the praises of a politician or the praises of someone that's put everything on the line and spent countless hours or large sums of money to try to help it. It's sort of in the news one day and gone the next. But it just we've had this constant need to know everything about everybody. And because we live in the United States of America, we have a free press that's doing their best to give us exactly what we want. And that's more dirt, more information, more something to tear down people to show the faults of who they are. And I wonder if that's because we need that to feel better about who we are. And part of being an American to me means that I have to respect that people that don't have the same perceptions as far as I do is if there is a God, people that have different perceptions as far as what is the moral right, they have the same rights to stand right across the street from me on their soapbox, and if they want to, they can proclaim as loud as they can and with as much emotion as I can what they feel, and they have a right to do that. And I think sometimes it's that, just like for me in this situation with a job change, any change is hard. Sometimes it's hard for us to open up and look at things from somebody else's perspective. And I know when I was a kid, you know, just automatically, you know, I loved cowboys and Indians. I thought, man, that is just the greatest thing. I wanted to be Roy Rogers. I wanted to have my six guns, and I had my little stick horse, and I could go into my imagination of perception, and in my mind, I was going to take care of all those bad Indians and all the bad guys. Well, as you grow older, you hear about things like the Trail of Tears, and you realize that those were the people that lived here before we came. And you get the kind of understanding like, you know, okay, what's the big deal about us going out there and slaughtering buffalo for herds? Well, that was what they survived on. That was their meal ticket. And so when we all stop and think about what it means to be an American, to be here in the United States of America, I think the first thing we have is our rights. But do we really have a right to be ignorant? And I know some of you are probably, what did he just say? But what I'm talking about is, it's just because someone says something really loud or with a lot of emotion, and it's something that can be passed on from Facebook page to Facebook page, and just it has just a little bit of truth to it, you know, do we kind of abuse that right to just pass things on like it's fact without really taking time to look at it and see if it is? You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I try to be real on this show. And I don't make any apologies to anybody that I believe that there is one God. He created this world. He created the people on this world. And someday every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. But if I want people to listen to what I have to say on that message, as an American, I can say whatever I want to say, but what about my credibility? And when we're constantly tearing down our country, I love what Blog Talk Mom says, talking about sitting there shooting a hole in the boat that you're in because you're mad at what everybody else is doing, and you're in the boat too. I mean, you know, do we really want to proclaim that that's my official right just to be that ignorant? You know, and when I say ignorant, I don't mean stupid. I mean unlearned. And some of these things, it doesn't take a lot of time to go in and look at it yourself on some of these things that we pass around. And as far as politics, I'm not trying to push one political party over another tonight. I know we have our Tea Party groups going around, and there's all kinds of funny songs. I found one I started to play at the start of the show. But I was sitting here thinking about this song that was written by John Lennon, which used to be one of the Beatles back, and I think his song was written back in the 60s. And it's talking about imagine. Imagine no wars. Imagine, you know, peace around the land. Imagine, you know, doing things for your brothers and sisters. You know, imagine that there's no religion, you know. And you know, is religion really what we're looking for in this country? Or is it a personal relationship with God that we'd like for our leaders to have and we'd like to have ourselves to pass on? But those are just some of the things that just come to mind with me on this, and I don't want to take the whole show talking about this, as Brother Russell said last week, and I want to apologize to him. His show, that was, both shows that he did for us were just fantastic. And when you're not sitting right across from someone, it's not like a conversation where you can keep an even flow and make eye contact, and there were some times where he paused, and I wasn't sure if he was through with making his point, and I was interjecting something I talked over the top of him, so I want to apologize for that. That's part of the radio thing. It's not something I did on purpose, but it like I say, it's a dynamic. It's hard to imagine with two people talking when you're hundreds of miles away and not able to see each other. But I would like to hear some other people's perception of what it means to them to be an American. And I know my beautiful wife has some perceptions on that I'd like to hear. It's funny, in our home, she was brought up with one political party being what they believed it was, the right one. And I was brought up in a home where it was another political party. So we have some interesting conversations on this, which usually ends up as, I don't want to talk to you about this. But I do want us to hear what she has to say on this topic tonight. So, Starla, what does it mean to you to be an American and live here in this country?
Well, I am thrilled to be an American. I appreciate the rights that we have, although some of them seem to be taken away, especially for the Christians. I don't really understand that, but I love this country, and I think that as long as we keep God on the forefront, God will continue to bless our country. And if we take him away, we can see what the destruction that's coming to our country through the schools and every avenue.
And I agree with that. You know, like where we look at, you know, prayer in school, you know, that's one of the things I just don't understand as to why somebody felt that it was a violation of their rights for us to have, for our kids to learn at a young age in our public school system, that they could lean upon somebody else. And that's one of those things that just, it baffles the mind. But it is what it is. Do we have anybody else that's got any thoughts on what it means to them to be living here in the United States and being American?
Well, no one has their hand up.
Maybe they're not in America.
Blog Talk Mom is sick tonight, and she sounds pretty puny. So we want to raise her up and much prayer.
I agree. Did Blog Talk Mom have anything? Did she raise her hand on this? Did she have any thoughts? I'll tell you what, I got another little song on there, Starla, if you can scroll down there and find it. It was the one about, I can't even remember the name of it right now, so that's how good I am. It
Blog
was
Talk Mom
a cute.
Has hand like that.
Okay.
Hey there.
Hello, Blog Talk Mom.
Hello. I really appreciate you and Starla for this program today. It's amazing to me how we take something so for granted, and it's so hard to tell someone something they think they already know. Since I was sick and this was the topic that you were going to speak on tonight, I began to look up, just go through Google and look up some different things about our wonderful country. And I mean, it's just unbelievable, the insight that I guess it had been dormant in my mind. But America has been truly blessed, and religious persecution has followed Christianity ever since the days that Jesus was here. And the Romans were adamant about crucifying Christ and destroying the Christians. And then there's been religious persecution you can study it out. But when those few Puritan pilgrims came to the United States, God honored them, just a handful of people. Now, they were the minority, actually, on the Mayflower. There were a lot of other people, and sometimes people, I've heard it said, well, these Puritans came over here for religious freedom, and then look at what all harm they did to the people that were here. Well, again, they were the minority, and they there's always been the Cains and the Abels. You know, there's been people that were for God and did things for God's reasons, and then there have been people that have not. There's the narrow way and the broad way. So obviously sin was here for sure. There's no doubt about it, and some horrible things were done. But I do believe with all my heart that God has allowed America above everywhere else to have and enjoy a freedom that is unsurpassed anywhere, and I'm so thankful to be a part of this great country.
Well, I appreciate what you had to say there, because that's part of what I'm talking about. If we just took a little bit of time, and the research is so easy to do now. If you got a computer, it's just amazing, you know, what you can look at. And I heard something the other day about Jimmy Carter, and his reputation is that he was a failed president. And it's amazing when you actually get to hear this man speak, and when you actually look at the things he accomplished. In his 4 years as president, he actually accomplished more major things during his tenure as president of the United States than any other president in history except for Theodore Roosevelt.
Wow.
And during a time where, you know, it seems like now when things start to looking bad in a country, that our first thing we want to do is go to war. And he was talking about with the hostages that were taken in Tehran, that, you know, people were pushing him to make this a war. And he's like, if we're a superpower, then why can't we look at peace as the first option? Why do I need to get war to try to set who I am as president of the United States with the American people? And because of his religious belief, he was not going to do that. He was looking for a peaceful option in the whole thing. And for us that were old enough to remember, the hostages were not released until Ronald Reagan was elected president. But it depends on what you read on that. A lot of people feel that was the Iranians' way of sort of saving face. It's like, okay, you've negotiated all this, you got it in place, but we're not going to deal with this till after the election, and, you know, to let these people go. And a lot of people have a lot of different perceptions on that. But a lot of things that he put in place as far as health care that actually was passed into law during that time was done away with it was Ronald Reagan did away with. I was amazed to find that out. And some things that had to do with deregulations in this country to where the rich companies had a stranglehold over certain things. He was the one that deregulated a lot of things and set up deregulation as far as fuel prices and dealing with the American companies having to match and compete against what the foreign oil companies were doing here in this country. And it's just amazing to get to look at that. And I tell you what, I don't care. I wasn't a real fan of George Bush, but anybody that's willing to put themselves on the line to be the leader of this country, knowing that every wrong thing they say and every wrong look and gesture that they make is going to be the next jokes on the talk show circuit, and that they're not going to be judged so much by what they've done, but by perception overall of how it affects the American people. I'll tell you what, I applaud those people, that they have something inside of them that drives them to want to take their perceptions and ideas of what makes this country great, and that they're willing to stand up there and make the hard choices that we think that we would like to make, and we think that we have all the answers. And there's a reason that Joe truck driver running down the road on the CB or Wild Bill on his talk show is not able to be president of the United States, because it takes a lot more depth of knowledge than what we have. And it's like the thing with perception about me and Starla with the sunset the other day. From where I was, I saw one thing. From where she was, she saw another. These people are educated people, where we go to sleep at night and we think we know what it means to be safe in our beds at night and everything. These people see the real picture, and they have to try to help do whatever they can to maintain the running of this country for normal business day in and day out. Because I have a funny feeling that if American people really saw just how fine a balance it is that this country even exists through the years, they probably couldn't get much sleep. Maybe that's what needs to happen to get some people to get back on their knees to sit before God, because we are spoon-fed little bits of news twisted to whatever point that the media wants to make it, depending on which news media you listen to what's really going on in this country. You know, we saw what happened on 9/11 9 years ago, you know, and just that was like a dream to me, that this could not be happening here in the United States of America. But can you imagine if you go back to Pearl Harbor, those people probably thought that it never could have happened then either. Even the military didn't think it could happen, not to Pearl Harbor. You know, they were all out there, you know, with all the talks and everything that was going on with Japan, that, you know, they thought that this couldn't happen. And which brings me to another point to this. When you get to looking at things from a religious point of view, and I don't know where you live, but I don't have anybody sitting outside my church with guns saying I can't go in there. They don't tell me that I can't hear the word of God preached. They don't tell me I can't sing praise to God. They don't tell me that I can't worship in any form that I feel that I need to worship in this country. I don't have anybody catching me on the way out and feel like they got to separate me from my family and lock me up in a room to try to persuade me to believe something different because the government has another form of religion they want to shove down my throat. But just the same, we are being media-fed concepts that to me are breaking down the fiber of what it means to be an American. And I'm not saying I don't believe it's a race thing. I don't think it has nothing to do with your ethnicity. You know, I don't care if you're Hispanic, African American, Irish, white, whatever. As American people, somewhere we have the right to stand up and be counted. The same way as a Christian has that same right to stand in the gap and be counted. And it just, I was looking at the parallels between the two when I was thinking about this show, and I was like, I am an American. And what does that mean? We are a superpower. We are to be concerned about everything that goes on in this world, you know, not just for the people here in this country. But to be honest with you, you think about that, and then how much do you really know about your neighbors? How much do you really know about the person down the street? How much do you relate to other people based on how it affects you without any thought to how it affects them? And I don't know about you, but that hit close to home, because when you looked at the America that first was founded in this country, people went out together and they helped their neighbor put up their barn. And, you know, they took care of, well, to a point, they took care of the widows and orphans. I read some things back during the time of the Depression. It's just, I think everybody should read some of the things that happened during that time, where families had to make choices as to which child got fed and which didn't, which one was going to die and which one was going to live, because there wasn't enough food for everybody. And you may think I'm just making it up, but that happened right here in the United States of America. You know, things got that bad. And so now I see our government trying to step in. They have programs established to try to make sure those things don't happen again. At least people should be able to eat. The new health care reform, I'm still curious to see how that's all going to play out. You know, the concept was exceptionally good as far as I'm concerned. The finished product, when they finally got down to watering it down to make it where both sides could swallow the thing, I think it pretty much took away the meat of what it was supposed to do. But there again, that's my perception. And I'm rattling on here, and I apologize for that. Do we have anybody else, Darla, that has any thoughts on what it means to them to be an American?
No, nobody's got their hand up.
It took you an awful long time to get that no out. I thought maybe you'd then left America too.
We have a caller. I believe it is Joy.
Yes, it is Joy. Hey, Starla, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm glad to hear you are. You went from having a house to yourself to having people everywhere you look. You got a lot of adjusting to do, but I know it's good to have your family around you.
Yeah, it is.
I'm happy for y'all. I forgot what I wanted to say while Bill, and I'm pretty sure it was genius.
Well, I'm sure it has something to do with about our current president and how you love him.
I like him. I'm pro him. I remember that for sure. One of the things, this is not about loving to be an American, but I also join you guys in loving this country and being really happy and feeling really blessed. One of the earliest things I remember in life was feeling really, really lucky to be in America, to be an American and to have all the freedoms. I think if you boil it down to one word, makes America so much different than anywhere else, it would definitely be freedom. But on just a silly little note, I've been seeing all of those Jimmy Carter interviews too, and they're really fascinating. But one thing that's interesting, I've never heard anybody pick on him for not being able to say nuclear, and he can't say it either. Remember how people used to just go nuts on George Bush about that? Because he says nuclear.
The funny thing about Jimmy Carter was is he was a commander on a nuclear submarine.
Well, maybe he knows how to say it and we just don't. Like, I just found out that you're not supposed to say Neanderthal, you're supposed to say Neanderthal. I've been saying that wrong all this time. Not that I say it very often, thank goodness.
Wow.
But, I think that America, I do believe in religious freedom. I think that it almost borders on seeming like y'all are saying y'all don't. And I do think that one of the things that the country is founded on is religious freedom. Are y'all saying that if I do a little research, I'll find out that's not true?
No, I do think that our country is founded on religious freedom. But what I'm finding now is that it's funny how Christianity has sort of gotten pushed off to the side. Like in our school system here, you can wear things that have sayings on it as far as, you know, being a Muslim, or you can wear things that's satanic or anything like that. And they had issues where they said, you know, people had filed lawsuits for wearing some of the T-shirts that made comments about Jesus on it. And I'm
that's
like, wow,
crazy.
You know, what's
they're
going on?
They're very,
like this
very
judge.
Strict about all of that here in Texas. I don't know about that. I've never heard. I actually have seen some kids wearing some shirts that say things about Jesus or say praise the Lord or something like that, but they're very strict about the other shirts here. Even like rock and roll bands, you know, might have something on there that can disturb or upset someone else, and they, I think Texas is maybe different than anywhere else in the world as far as those kinds of things. For one thing, we're crazy. We're the main ones that are always trying to change the books to make them more Christian, to make them more, you know, and I don't believe in that. I don't think that you can, like, I don't want religion in schools. I don't care if somebody wears a shirt, and I don't care. But they do. They have clubs. They have before and after Bible, you know, kinds of things. But as far as it being taught, I don't like that because then it opens the door for other religions. I see what you're saying, though, like everything but Christianity. I've seen situations where it seems like there's a sensitivity against Christianity, but anything else is protected. Like, oh, you can't be mean to them. They've got a right to feel what they want to feel. But then when the Christians want to say what they want to say, oh, be quiet. Don't tell us what you feel. I didn't say that very well, but I do kind of get the point of what you're saying. It does seem like reverse discrimination, like the minority discriminates against the majority sometimes.
Yeah. And it's amazing how these organizations have so much power. That judge in Georgia that had the Ten Commandments on a stone statue or something outside his courtroom or his office, and he was disbarred because he refused to remove it. What did that hurt?
I don't know.
It's a court of laws. A lot of our laws were based on Old Testament law, and then it became what used to be called, what was it? I'm drawing a blank right now. Help me, Blog Talk Mom. What do they talk about that like in divorce court and thing? They say it's based on, thingamajig law.
Oh, yeah.
Neanderthal.
I love that.
Rhonda's got a new word.
That's right. I feel.
What were you saying, Rob Bill? Now say it again. Say it.
I was trying to think, you know, in divorce court, they were calling that was based on certain thing. I'm drawing a blank on what it was. I've got everything from family law to civil law, but it's based on, it was a principle is what they judged it on. And so a lot of things that had to do with laws in this country started off as, you know, the Ten Commandments, the laws that were there, the moral right. And that's part of where we've come in this country to where, I'll tell you something that's really amazing to me, and I'm jumping all around here. In 1976, boy, it's going way back there, when I was in high school, our country had its bicentennial. That means our country was only 200 years old when I was in high school. And the reason I remember that, because it was also the sesquicentennial of the state of Arkansas. And so they had a bicentennial train that was traveling all across this country. And it was coming through Arkansas to be part of their sesquicentennial celebration. And because our school was so small, we was able to go as a school group and go see the train and see some of the celebration and everything. But when you somehow we get to looking at time as like we've been here forever. And you get to thinking, wow, our country was only 200 years. I mean, that's you don't have to go back very many generations to people that lived here when this wasn't a nation.
I know it. That is kind of along the line of what I was going to say whenever I lost my train of thought, is that we're such a baby country. And not that long ago, women didn't even have the right to vote. Right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, women couldn't vote. So if you look at the whole big picture of human history and then look at, then that's the main thing that struck me whenever we were in England and France. You're seeing these buildings that are 1,000 years older than our whole country.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable how young we are, and I remember one time somebody said that America was like a big puppy, a big, powerful, shockingly strong puppy bouncing around in world affairs because we are so much more powerful than other people. But I think that for the most part, of course, we all know how I feel about my president, but I really like what you said earlier because I think all of them, when they get up there, they're there because they love this country and they want to serve. And they have a vision for what they think is going to make the country better. And if we can all pull on the things that we do agree on, I don't know if you heard Jimmy Carter say that the country is more divided than it's ever been as far as he's concerned. He thinks even at the Civil War, he's never seen the country so divided where, you know, the way they vote down everything President Obama does, just it's like a pact among the Republicans to not let him pass anything, not let him do anything, not let him be successful. That's not in the best interest of the country. But it's just like coming to a boiling point, I think. It's just some of our growing pains, and I don't think there's anybody that will be able to handle it better than he will. And we're going to come through it, and America's going to be better than it's ever been. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to immediately shoot back into prosperity. Part of that song you were playing, I'm kind of impressed that you played such a communist song at the beginning of a talk about America. But the whole you know, imagine no possessions. Imagine no, you know, that's very, very hard for Americans. We've gotten so, there's been so much growth just in my lifetime. We've talked about before with the internet, how connected everybody is. Everybody's got their own little phone. Everybody's got a TV. And everybody's just so connected to anything and all this stimulation happening at all times. This generation that's behind me, like my kids and your kids' generation, are facing things that we can't even truly comprehend. It's a very, very interesting time in history.
Amen.
But do you not think that a lot of it is just repeat? I mean, it's just things coming over and over? Because I
guess I'm looking at that. Some things are coming over and over. Some things are new.
Well, I mean, as far as technology is new, and as far as like, but, you know,
that has effect
on your mind. For the better.
Well, I don't either. And I, even if it is for the better, just like Starla and I were talking in the chat room, that sometimes things are for the better, but that doesn't mean they're that much fun. That doesn't mean that there's not an adjustment that has to happen for, you know, for everybody to get used to what it is. No, I don't think some of it is for the better, but who cares? It's here, and they're dealing with it, and they grew up so differently than we did. And I'm guessing, Mama, did we grow up so differently than you did?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. It seems like because it's a slow process, you lose the concept of what the change that's taking place. And when I remember the first time that we went to Detroit and somebody had a television, you wouldn't believe what a fascinating. It was a black and white television. And you couldn't get, but just almost all of it had the snow on it, you know, the snowy kind of black and white pattern.
Yeah.
And it went all the time. And it, you know, I mean, that was really something to have a TV. I mean, that's obsolete almost compared to the things, especially with telephones. And it's done a number on people. The way the family was in earlier years, I think, even though of all the changes, I think that's the most destructive, is how people begin to move from place to place. And, you know, they didn't get really that closeness. And then divorce seemed like it was on the rise. And children were scattered. And I don't know. That's like two worlds to me, the inventions, the many inventions, that's one thing. And then humanity's fallen apart. I was in a wedding Saturday, and the marriage is the representation of Jesus Christ's love for his bride. That's how, it's shown over and over. Well, it's just sad, you know, that so many people have had to suffer through that, not blaming anybody. You know, it's just that it seemed like at this age, the family's really been under attack.
I mean, partially maybe because... Go ahead, Wild Bill.
I was just going to say, Starla brings up something that when you got a door that's there that you open, then it's real easy to walk through it. You know, used to, it was kind of more... It was a bad thing if you had divorce. Now, it's the common thing.
Yeah.
You know, and each generation seems to be wanting to go after whatever's forbidden. I mean, I was able to watch that through the 50s, the rebels with the leather jackets and the slick back hair and the Elvis Presley and James Dean things. And then you got on up into the 60s and the whole thing and the different look. And then you had the whole thing with the bell bottoms and the people shooting heroin in the 70s. I mean, the drugs became different, what they were doing to abuse their bodies. And they started, you know, then it was the thing with the tattoos and piercings, which is, came back now to be a, it was, even then you was radical if you did those things. You was one of those people pushing the forbidden, and now that's, they're trying to make it the norm. You know, you're the weirdo if you're not doing those things. Then the majority of people looked at those people like, you know, they're hippies, you know, they're dopers, you know, they're that group that was on the fringe of everything. It wasn't, you know, it was entertaining to think of them as being, oh, you know, he's the bad boy. You know, you hear girls, you know, talking about being attracted to that and everything. But it's, I don't know, it's like that part of our country reminds me of like we're a copy of a copy of a copy, and it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And when we want to start pointing our fingers at our leaders, and I've said this before, I think that they mirror what they have as far as the people in this country.
Amen.
I think that we've become like a copy of a copy of a copy. I heard a young man say the other day, he said, it's amazing how in your churches anymore, you don't have people stand up and say, listen, it's heaven or hell. It's right or wrong. There's accountability for everything that you say and you do. And he's like, you don't hear that a lot anymore. You hear three steps to this, two steps to that. You look at the positive things of the promises of God and everything, and to where you sort of miss the big picture sometimes. And at least that's what that young man was saying, and I sort of agree with him a little bit. If things were wrong 50 years ago, then why aren't they wrong now?
Well,
have we become so much wiser? Do what?
You know, earlier you were talking about the balance of that concept of what you just said. You know, you can't just, we're not living back then. And I guess there's got to be a balance between, well, there's a scripture in Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So our nation, I believe, has been blessed because of righteousness, because of the God that we serve. And that can be taught in a positive way or a negative way.
Yeah, well, when you look at the other countries and everything, too, I mean, you know, we keep thinking like Americans are the only one that are Christians. And it seems so funny that the one group that's excluded the most is God's chosen people in Israel. You know, it just, if you
not
really get to
mama.
Thinking about that, we're
not
the Christians,
me.
And God's and God's chosen people, they're not part of the clique. Yeah, you guys missed it. You're out of here. But,
oh,
you know, so
America,
much of what we take, I'm sorry?
America was one of the reasons God gave power to America, was so that we would be a protector and whatever was needed to help bring Israel back. In 1948, we played a major role in them becoming a nation. I don't think they want to admit that, but we did.
Surely they admit it.
Why do you think they would want to admit it?
Because they're Jewish, and Jewish people are very egotistical. that was mean to me, I guess. But
you have the right. If anybody has the right to say anything about them, it's you, because you're certainly their champion.
I really love them. They're just really amazing to me. But, you know, the Jewish rabbis teach that, you know, they just believe which is good, they give God every bit of the glory and for bringing them back at that time, and it really was God. But I also, Nixon and different ones in our country stood a lot of ridicule and were a part of that, you know, of helping them become a nation. But, oh, that's if everybody wants to just study something, study 1948 in American history. It's amazing.
I weren't born then.
I was 8 years.
It couldn't have been too interesting, could it?
speaking of the Neanderthal fella, I think that's one of the biggest reasons that our country got off track.
We were
Neanderthals?
Pronouncing that word.
The Neanderthals, not pronouncing that correctly. No, I mean the little books at school that showed the little ape man, half ape, half human, humanoid, I guess, traipsing across, finding out what was in America. That was so anti-God that it's, and to me, in my perspective, my ever so humble, I think it's the most ignorant thing anybody ever laid out for children. But whatever. I'll hush.
I don't remember seeing anything where they had the Neanderthal discovering America. Then did he turn into an American Indian?
I don't know. I just remember him with his little bitty children apes and his club, you know, and some teacher was teaching me about the Neanderthal man. And that was interesting. Well, evolution, you know that it is definitely taught in the school system. And I always want to say, you know, we all believe in evolution, you know, from a tadpole to whatever, but I'm talking about human beings changing from one species to another is a lot.
The evolution of the in the this is changing it from the Neanderthal, but what you just said about believing in evolution, the evolution of our country is kind of what we're talking about. While Bill, when you were watching the shows that had Jimmy Carter on it, did you see the thing about what John Stewart is doing?
No.
At the mall in Washington, he's going to have a rally that is just to return sanity and rational thought to America. And he made a point that I thought was so good. He said, it's not, because we mostly hear the crazy people of the Muslims, the crazy people of the Christians, the crazy people are who get the press. It's not the people who really are thoughtful and have something to talk about that needs to be talked about so that we can step forward and build our country in the way we want to. But he said he thinks that it's not that people don't care, it's that the rational people are busy. They're trying to feed the people who are hungry. They're trying to get their kids educated and, you know, everything done for their children that need to be done. He said the while the crazy people are out there getting on TV, the rational people are all at home at dinner, trying to feed their family, trying to have dinner. So he's having a rally that's just for all the people who aren't really, you know, super fired up, but do care. We all are part. You can't just, I think you already said this, well, Bill, I know you've said it before when we've had discussions. You can't just always be talking about they, what are they doing? We are all the fabric of America.
That's good.
We are.
Yeah, and look at the positive. What can you do? You know, I don't talk about what you can't do. There's always something you can do. You know, in your neighborhood, you might see something at one house where you can know that someone. So I had a, I talked about Jack Caldwell before that I worked with, where we'd be gone for 2 weeks at a time. He'd come home, notice his neighbor's grass was kind of tall, and he would go down there and find out that maybe he'd broke his leg or something. And so, in that limited time we had home, he didn't just cut his grass; he cut his neighbor's grass.
Wow.
And he didn't ask for anything in return for that. If he heard that the widow woman at the end of the street was sick, he might make a big pot roast and take half of it down and give it to her so she had something to eat. That sort of thing is something we can do. Not any of us can't say we can't do that.
That's great.
You know, how hard is it to get a Hallmark card and just say, hey, I've noticed you've not been doing well. Just want you to know you're in our thoughts and prayers.
That's
taking one step further.
Exactly.
Not even
that's what I was thinking.
What
ahead,
about
sorry.
Just praying for somebody?
Exactly.
Seeing a need and just putting them on your altar and praying for them. That's what I'm talking about. Do we really have the right, and I'm talking about people of faithfulness, do we have the right to be ignorant? Do we have the right to be uneducated in a time where there's so much information at our fingertips that we can go out there and we can slam people that are trying to do something instead of taking the time to find out if what we're spreading is even true? I mean, if you really want to look at everything and how, if those people look about how bad it is with people in our government and everything, have they ever read the book of Revelations? Do they not know what's coming? It's like, duh, this shouldn't be any big surprise, folks. If things are getting worse and this thing is winding up, these things are going to happen.
Well, Bill's got a little attitude going this week.
It's just I get the things that people send me on Facebook sometimes, and I understand some of it's funny, and I don't have a problem with that. But when they send these things out and they write these hateful things on there and you spend 30 seconds doing a search, and you can find out that part of it is true from one thing and the other of it is from something that had nothing to do with reality or truth at all, it's just like, wow. It just, come on, folks. You know, if you want to get excited about something, I won't ever forget this great big preacher that time that people used to say, man, if I was as big as you, I'd go bear hunting with a switch. And he used to always say, well, there's little bears too. You know, there's always something we can do. You know, we can't make excuses for everything, or can we? Can we justify everything based on a perception and a whim that's not factual and think that we're okay because of it? Is that sort of like the Bible where it says you can believe a lie and be damned?
I
mean,
scared, damn you.
One of the things about the Jimmy Carter thing that I really was impressed with was the war with Iraq after 9/11. He sent a letter to the United Nations asking them not to support the United States on going to war with Iraq because there was no proof of anything having, that what happened on 9/11 have anything to do with Iraq. And he felt that our country was jumping into that just to appease emotions within this country. And they're like, well, I bet you wasn't very popular with George Bush. And he said, well, I sent him a copy too. It wasn't like he did it behind his back.
Yeah.
You know, I just want him to know, you know, the emotions of the people is, you know, that, I mean, we got this thing called mob mentality. It's real easy to feed things to a mob. I remember when I was a Cub Scout one time, there were these two kids that were being a bully to these other kids, and we were waiting for the den mother to come pick us up, and we were up at this church on the corner. And so I had this bright idea that we were going to come to the rescue. So I'm like, come on, guys, let's go get them. And I took off tearing across there, and I thought the rest of the little Cub Scouts was all behind me. And as I got up there, I noticed these boys didn't seem very scared. And so as I got up there and grabbed hold of one of them, I turned around and looked, and I was the only one there. The den mother had come and was picking everybody up, and so there I was. And my perception was is the team was coming to the rescue. We're going to make everything right. And as it was, as with anything with kids, you know, it was all in play. You know, although there were some pretty mean kids in that neighborhood, but it still doesn't make it right to have an emotion to be fired up to do something like that. You know, it wasn't my job to go over there and fix the day. I remember one time Rhonda and I don't remember who the other person was being picked on the school bus, and I turned around in my school bus seat and was going to take on two boys at once, and there were three boys in the seat, and he was like, I don't know, 20 years old, still in eighth grade. And when I turned around to do my haymaker punch, he was the one I hit and knocked off the bench, the seat of the bus, and I just knew I was dead. So, but I think our country gets all wound up in emotion sometimes. And now our country is so much into public opinion to where I wonder if we're really getting, you know, these people are smart enough to fix things. I have no doubt. But it's so based on public opinion and trying to save their jobs to come back again for a second term and everything. That's the part of it that really bothers me when I look at things. I think we have the best country on this world, but I think this world's winding up. And as Forrest Gump says, that's all I got to say about that.
I have a little trivia that you might be interested in.
Is I love trivia.
America? Yes, it is. It's the song God Bless America. Anybody know who it was written by?
Francis Scott Key?
No, it was written
by... No, that was Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, yeah. Star Spangled Banner. Who?
Pardon? It was made popular by Urban Berlin. I wonder if he's Jewish.
Oh, really?
I think he's German.
My guess is yes.
But I'm not sure. But anyway, he had
written... They named Berlin, Germany after him.
Oh, no. He was in the U.S. Army at Camp Upton in Yaphank, Yaphank, New York.
You think so?
Yeah. And he wrote it, and it was going to be in this review, which whatever that meant, reveille or whatever, and it was called Yip Yip Yaphank, and he sort of set it aside. He thought it was just a little bit too somber or something, and 18 years later, during the war, he pulled it back out, and brought the American people fell in love with it immediately. So I thought that was interesting.
Really?
If you ever wonder if you are a true American and really, really love your country, sing the Star Spangled Banner and don't cry. Have you ever made it all the way through it and not cry?
Oh, I know. It's so powerful.
It does just move everything. Because I'm really not into huge shows of patriotism in a certain way, like Go Us and everybody else is big nothing because they're not us. And, you know, there's something about it that kind of, there's a lot of it in Texas, a lot of patriotism that kind of is just borders on obnoxious. But I do love my country, and it's proven by any time I hear that song. And I actually, I don't know if you guys remember, but when we went to Washington, one of the things at the Smithsonian was that actual flag, the flag that Francis Scott Key was looking across at. You can
really
see it in the Smithsonian. Yep, it's tattered and just like but it's huge. It's that you can't touch it. It's in like a room and lit, and then you file through and look at it. Everybody was getting all clamped.
Well,
it's a moving moment, and it had that whole story there, which we've all heard about how he wrote that song. I feel like I just brought us to a crashing halt.
Why is that? My favorite part of that is when the cymbals crash together.
That's because you're a cymbal player.
That's it.
Or at least you used to be.
Well, I can't believe when we talk about what it means to people to be an American that we didn't have more opinions on that. Especially, of course, I know our military people hear this on later when the show's over. And one of the things I'd like to say that I think is great about this country is our volunteer military men and women who, if I had not been there that night to see my son getting on that big jet to go over to Iraq, and I saw men having to carry their little babies off to the side as their wives were getting on those airplanes. And you talk about something put a tear in your eye. You know, these people were National Guard that was being sent over there. And, you know, I just, wow, you think about the commitment to do that. And a lot of these people did this to help in this country in time of crisis or need, never dreaming that they would be mobilized to go to war in a foreign country. And
yeah.
It was just one of those. Of course, it was very touching to me because it was my son watching him get on an airplane for the first time, knowing he was going to a foreign country, not knowing if he was ever going to come back again. And that's the part of it where we have men and women in this country that their husband and wives are in harm's way even now. And I can't imagine, you know, we think that this generation has fallen away as far as being patriotic towards our country and everything. I didn't see anybody during that time, you know, holding up signs. There was no people that were being disrespectful. There were no pickets or protests. It was everything was there to be in support of our men and women that were fixing to go fight for this country. And whether we agree with the war being right or wrong, those people deserve our utmost respect for what they do.
And that's an example of one of those things that everybody in America agrees on, and yet we've got veterans running around the streets homeless and not being taken good care of. I think we all do agree, whatever you think about any of the wars, the soldiers, if we broke them mentally or whatever happened to them, they should be taken care of. They should be our top priority. But they're not.
That's true.
Thank you, Josie.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad, though? You know, when the first astronauts went into space, when they came back, business people went and bought land and built homes for the astronauts because they were representing this country and going to do. And there again, you know, can you imagine the unknowns at that time of what there was with space? We thought we knew, but until you've been out there, you know, it's all on paper and charts and graphs, and you're like, I think this is what you're going to run into when you get through the atmosphere, and I think this is going to hold air.
Oops.
And I think there's going to be enough in here to get you where you're going and back again. And, you know, all these things there, and these people just like, yeah, put me in there, strap me up, sign me up. And the physical test that they put those, some of it now you look back and you're like, man, that was just retarded. I mean, it had nothing to do with sending people up into space. So, well, we're coming up to the end of the show. We've all three been rattling here. Is there anybody else that had a hand up there, Starla, had a comment or anything they wanted to say?
No.
Okie doke. Well, I don't know what our topic's going to be next week. We sent out some invitations. I'm fixing to start a new job. If it does interfere with the Tuesday nights, what we're going to do is we're going to play replays of the shows on Tuesdays, and we'll try to pick another show time that will work with my new job. And if it does work out, then we'll be there. But I sent some invitations out to some people to be guest speakers on the show. And even if I can't be there, you know, for all of it, you know, we'll just have to kind of play it by ear and see where we go. But again, I want to thank our military people for the service that they provide for his country. And I don't want it to make it sound like that I'm anti-American because I'm pro-God. I just, it's one of those things to where my problem is where we want to stand up on a platform of something to put other people down for what they're doing, and yet we're not doing anything in response to make things better either. And I think it's time, and we talk about this a lot, we have to put ourselves in the mirror. The only thing we can control is ourselves. I want to thank each and every one of you that's called in and taking your time to listen to this show. I ask that you remember each and every one of us all together is one in prayer. We all have needs. If this thing is winding up, we all need to get closer to God. And I pray for each and every one of you that God just softens your heart, puts seeds in your mind, and lets it bring forth fruit in your life. So everyone have a good night. God bless you, and we'll be back next week.